This is Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. Get Real to Heal is underwritten by AFC Urgent Care at South Brentwood Boulevard in Litzinger. Urgent Care is in their name, but they also offer family care services. The next time your kids, spouse, or elderly member of your family needs to see a physician, remember AFC Urgent Care. They're open beyond physicians' traditional office hours and will allow you to avoid a long, expensive visit to the ER. Nobody likes that, right? Mm-hmm. They can even do x-rays and lab tests in-house, and visit AFC Urgent Care 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. weekdays and 8 to 5 on weekends. And you can check them out at afcurgentcare.com/Brentwood. I am so excited to be back with Justine Frelker. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. We had such a great conversation. You know, to check out the previous episode that Justine was on, go to @GetRealToHeal on Instagram, or you can go to soundcloud.com/GetRealToHeal and check out the audio file. She has such amazing wisdom and such an incredible story to share. I just hope that you'll check her out and check out her TED Talks, her books, all of the things.
Thank you.
And in this episode, we want to dive into your work as a Dare to Lead facilitator and a few of the topics near and dear to your heart that you're talking about these days, which are, where do we start?
I mean, where do you start? I think one of my biggest ones, because even just hearing you say, get real to heal, get real to heal, this piece of, if we're going to live happy, healthy, wholehearted lives, you have to feel your feelings. Like, and I know people are like, oh, says the therapist, right? And I just, I can't, and one of my Insta stories this week, I was like, I think I'll probably die saying the same message over and over and over. But I think there's a movement, and whether or not it's coaching or personal development, sometimes even in like the holistic healing world, this like overwhelming message of just do it. Just change your life. Just get up early and pour into yourself. Just eat better. Just exercise. Just. And it's so minimizing to how difficult change is. And then we wonder and ask ourselves a week later, maybe 6 months later, maybe a year later, how come we're right back where we started? How did we self-sabotage? And for a lot of us, it's because we didn't grow up in homes where we were encouraged to get curious about our emotions, let alone speak them or cope with them in a healthy way. Our parents did their very best. That is not up for argument. Like, they did their very best. And it is our job to learn the lessons and do it a little bit healthier, right? And so this piece of like, just plow through your feelings and just do it, I think is the reason a lot of people are sick and unhappy and unhealthy. You have to learn how to feel your feelings. Name them appropriately, cope with them in a healthy way, allow them to move through, because feelings are energy. They'll get stuck. You're not this like endless black hole that you can keep stuffing your unprocessed emotional pain. Because when you do that, you hurl it onto other people. You work your stuff out onto other people, or you get sick. Because the body keeps score, right? One of the best books, I think it's called Body Keeps Score. It's amazing. Like, your emotions have to go somewhere. And so it's both. It's, again, like we talked about last time, like this, it's the permission of the and. It's this complicated gray of feel your feelings, process them, speak the unspoken, and do something a little bit differently today. Because you can't just keep plowing through them.
Right. Right. You know, somebody came up to me yesterday at a function and said, you know, okay, so you're a health coach. Well, so what do you work on with people? Like, what does everyone need? I was like, well, first off, that's quite a question.
Here's this one pill that you'll be happy and healthy.
I wish it worked that way. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Right. For myself too, because right. I'm still dealing with my own stuff. Yeah, I want that pill. But you know, I guess she expected me to say diet or exercise, and I said, you know, dealing with stress and dealing with your feelings, mm-hmm. and she said, oh. And I said, that's the one thing everyone that I meet has in common.
Yep.
And it's slow down. It's self-care. It's deal with your feelings. It's who are you really, getting into their authenticity. It's really, it's so much more than, you know, and then that's what drives us to make the right decisions around food, exercise, all the other things in life, really.
Right. Especially because then we're starting to do the work that believes that we choose the action to begin to believe that we are worthy of that.
Worthiness.
That worthiness, the enoughness piece. And so, you know, when I was in private practice seeing clients, I would tell people one of the first things we would talk about would be sleep. Because if I can help you sleep better, 75% of your stuff is better.
Oh, absolutely. I mean? Like, yeah, that's number one. With I work with a board certified cardiologist, Michael Twyman at Apollo Cardiology. I'm his health coach on staff there. And that is number one. Yeah. You know, we have like these pillars of health and it starts with sleep. Yep. Well, you're going to get more sleep if you deal with those emotions.
They're not torturing you all night long.
Well, exactly. And reel it back during the day so that you're not up all night worrying. And that, again, comes from internal, intrinsic worthiness. And anyway, we could go on and on about that. It's so important.
Yeah. Well, and the big thing, you know, self-care has become this like big buzzword. Yeah. And I do, you know, on my public, you know, author facilitator Facebook page, I share a self-care tip of the day every day or 5 days a week because I believe in taking time off. So the weekends are a little bit more sporadic, but like there's this buzzword of self-care. And for me, it's choosing self-love in the action of self-care. Because not only did most of us grow up in homes where we were not taught to get curious about our emotions, most of us did not grow up in homes where we were taught that it was okay to love yourself. It was kind of, and we didn't see examples of it.
Right.
Right. We saw our parental figures plowing through, just working, not taking time for themselves, not talking to each other. Like, and so, or ever taking a break, creating margin or rest. And so I don't know what you feel, but like, I do kind of feel this, it's starting to happen, this shift of people letting go of the armor of hustle and striving and create margin and rest and stillness, taking true Sabbaths, whatever you believe in, like a true disconnection day, like even if it's just an hour off of every technology, like that's so helpful for your soul and for your well-being. But like that, your self-care is not just like, we have to break these myths that it's selfish or that it's just like, I don't have time for that or whatever else. We also, because I never not lean in. I love double negatives warning. I love them. My husband's always like,
never.
I love double negatives.
But I get you.
We have to also talk about privilege. Like, I have to talk about, like, I am a white, educated, Christian, straight woman. In some ways, it is safer for me to practice self-care than a Black woman, for sure, especially in our country. So we have to also talk about those issues, like what stresses are happening in other people's lives that look different than me or have had other life experiences that they don't have as much freedom or wherewithal because what's expected of them is different to survive and be safe. We have to talk about those things.
Yeah.
Because silence is what's killing us.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And, you know, I would take it one step further and just say poverty as well. You know, I still... Yeah, I did not grow up with, my parents worked very hard. They've built a great life, but, you know, they were teen parents and I did not grow up with. And I have to check that at the door sometimes because I don't need to struggle the way that I struggle sometimes, you know, but it's like, what am I trying to prove? Why am I still? But it's because I grew up in a family where if you did not hustle, we weren't going to eat, you know, and that gets ingrained.
Yeah. Oh, me too. That whole work to earn, but also work to earn your just enoughness. Like, I gotta earn just being here, and you don't. One of the pieces that we do in the Dare to Lead curriculum and Rising Strong, all the curriculums that I teach, is one of the ending is this brave new ending. And I always tell people, like, I don't need you to believe your brave new ending today. I need you to write it down though. And then part of my follow-up will be, when's the last time you read your brave new ending? Like that brave new ending of, I am enough. I am worthy. I am a good leader. I am a good mother. Like whatever it might be. But like, it is your truth of who you were created to be and probably not taught to believe. I don't need you to believe it right now. I need you to choose the actions, even if it's just 5 minutes today, to walk out that enoughness, even if the belief isn't quite there yet. You know, like, does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It does. Yeah.
I always tell people too, like when I started working with a coach after I did all my therapy work and then it was time to work with a coach, you know, she had me do the whole affirmations, looking in the mirror with eye contact and telling yourself that you're enough. And I love it. It matters. It does change things. But there's two pieces to that. Number one, I'm a therapist with 20 years of experience. And like I have done the work of Dr. Brené Brown for 7 years. I have done a lot of shame, resilience, and courage work. I know my shame. And even still, it took me 3 weeks of making eye contact with myself and telling myself that I am enough. 3 weeks until I did not cry. Because it was so uncomfortable and I couldn't receive it. And I had done all of that work. So there's that piece. And then there's the other piece too. Like, it's not enough. I had to do more than just look myself in the eye and tell myself I'm enough. I had to actually choose the behavior that is enoughness. Pouring into myself first before I give. Because I can't give from an empty well. Like all of those little things that self-care and the self-love and the action of self-care. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And embracing saying no.
Yes.
And not doing.
I love boundaries.
One of my favorite videos that you did, you got to check out her YouTube channel. It's fantastic. So one of my favorite videos was The Art of Doing Nothing When You're Terrible at Doing Nothing.
How old is that?
I don't know. But I loved it because I read the title and I was like, oh, I need this. I need this in my life. Yeah.
I'm so bad.
And it's so funny because I coach people on things like that. I'm like, no, pull it back. And then I have to everything. But it's like that, right? Mm-hmm. We're living it too. And so it's like it's that mirroring aspect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I really first started creating margin and letting go of the hustle, I would be like, how do you do stillness? How do I put margin on my to-do list? I got to do it. And then like, you know, my coach would be like, it's being, and I'd be like, no, how do you do it?
you don't know. I need instructions. I need an instructional video on being.
Right. Give me the 1, 2, 3 steps of how to do it. Right. And, but so, I mean, one of the hows that I started with, it was just 5 minutes. I think so many of us like dive into this huge life change and we go all in. And like we said last time, it's in the messy middle. It's a little bit. Give yourself permission to go a little bit. And then one of my favorite things that I teach, when you fall off track, which you will, because a kid will get sick, the car breaks down, work is super stressful, something happens, and that change becomes, it feels like it's too much. It's not too much. It feels like it's too much because our brain is so wired for comfort, right? But like to give ourselves grace-filled permission to fall off track, to struggle. And in that very next breath, accountability to begin again, not to start over, because I don't need you to start over. I need you to learn the lessons of what went wrong. I need you to learn where you came from. We have to understand where we came from in order to pave a new path, right? Like we have to have that. But so begin again. Don't start over. Don't throw out everything you had. Begin again. And so it's grace-filled permission to struggle and fall off track. And in that very next breath, with accountability, which means you have someone that you answer to, because that's huge. Like Chad, my husband, helps me stay on track when I fall off track. And you begin again. And you begin again with just a few minutes.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to be like, well, I fell off track with my hour workouts. And then all of a sudden it's been, your brain says like, well, it's been a week. I'll just start on the first of the month. Well, that's 3 weeks away, you know? And then like, so then you have the time thing sabotaging you. But then you also have like, well, I have to do the whole hour. Well, what if you just did 7 minutes?
Right. That's, yeah. Oh,
what if you just put on a song and danced and moved your freaking body a little bit?
The look on some of my clients' faces when I just say, what if we just started here and we just take it down like sometimes not even a notch, but like 10 notches,
right?
You know,
and then you feel this relief.
You can feel it from them.
Really? I can do that? Yes.
You can do anything. Mm-hmm. You can do anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, where do we start? And those small sustainable changes are what adds up.
Right.
But giving yourself permission and grace to do that is so hard for so many people. Yes. Well,
that's one of the mantras in the Dare to Lead work is I give myself permission to, because we don't realize how little permission we actually have until we give ourselves permission. Permission to struggle, permission to feel, permission to begin again, permission to doubt, permission to believe. Permission. What permission do you need to give yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about courage.
Yeah.
Because that takes a lot of courage, right?
Well, yeah. If you're at risk of failing.
I mean, absolutely. Right? It's terrifying, right? And there's some part of you that thinks you might die.
That's true. And your brain's like, you're going to die. Stop it.
You're going to die. Like, yeah, your amygdala is just firing off. It's like, ah, like, don't do that. No. So yeah, courage. Where does it start?
You start with vulnerability, right? I mean, I'm a certified facilitator under Brené. And so first off, 400,000 pieces of data, 20 years of work. And there's not one example of courage that is not vulnerability. Courage requires vulnerability. Because when I put myself out there, when I try to make a way to serve the world with my gifts, when I try to change my life, when I try to help someone else, I am at risk. It's uncertain because you have no control over what you're going to get back. That's vulnerable. So when we ask people in the data, 400,000 pieces of data, what is courage? It's things like saying I love you first, having to fire someone, starting your own business, trying to get pregnant after your second miscarriage. Did all those things require courage? Yep. Vulnerability is not weakness. Courage requires vulnerability. And it's really uncomfortable.
That it is.
It really is. Like, that it you know, is. Just because I teach it doesn't mean I love it.
Right.
Like I'm still uncomfortable all day, every day.
How do you get comfortable being uncomfortable? That was my mantra for last year. And
ooh, I like it.
Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah. And it served me well. Mm-hmm. It served me well, but I'm still not comfortable being uncomfortable.
I think if you're comfortable, you're not doing it quite right. It's mm-hmm. not truly vulnerability and courage. It doesn't get easier. I get more seasoned at it. It is also why I'm so diligent about my time, my margin, my rest, my refueling, my restoring. Because if I don't first love and lead myself, I cannot love and lead you. I cannot give what I do not have. So that's how you become more seasoned in being uncomfortable. It doesn't make it less, like, more comfortable, though. It doesn't mean that it's like, oh, yeah, I can do this. Anytime I step on a stage to speak, it doesn't mean I'm comfortable doing it. No, I'm going to sweat and be nervous and have dry mouth. Like, it's just because I care.
Yeah.
I care. And because it means a lot to me. It's an honor. It's humbling. And most importantly, because I want to connect with you. So I care. So if I'm comfortable doing it, I don't think that's true authenticity.
Yeah. No, I love the way that you put all of that. That's been my experience, but you just articulated it so incredibly well, as always. So, all right. There was a comment in one of your videos. You said 99% of our response to someone else is really about us.
That's my second TED Talk. Yeah. The donut effect.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Got to check out the TED Talks.
I love that TED Talk.
Yeah, I did too.
I do. I love that. I mean, it's funny.
I don't want to. I want to just like share, but I'm not going to. You just have to go watch Justine Froelker's TED Talk, The Donut Effect. Just watch it. But yes, I cannot believe that you took that life situation and turned it into a TED Talk. It was marvelous. I mean, that was really cool.
Well, there's multiple lessons in it. Like,
yes.
But it is, you know, the book, The Four Agreements, such a good book. One of the biggest agreements I think we all need. Take nothing personally. It's not about you. It's really not. Like, what you think of me today says more about you than it does me. And what I think of you today says more about me. And so, like, and I say in that TED Talk, that means two things. It's one, freedom for me to be who I am. Because you're wrapped up in your own stuff. We just are.
Yeah,
it's not a bad thing. It's just like, we're just wrapped up in our own stuff. It's freedom, but it's also a responsibility for me to really get self-aware and curious. What's this bringing up for me? Am I going to keep choosing to react from my emotions and react from people? Or am I going to choose courage and lean in with vulnerability and ask myself things like, what's this bringing up for me? What's this really about? What is this triggering from my past? Because how many of us are hurling our stuff onto other people because we're coming from past hurt?
Yeah. Hurt people.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh.
And when we choose to do our healing, we will heal others.
Yeah.
And the world needs that so badly.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, that's my mission the last 3 years. I've been going through trauma therapy and working through my own stuff, and for a few reasons. One, I started it because I had gotten into coaching school and I realized I can only take people as far as I'm willing to go myself. Now, I am not a therapist. You should go see a therapist. Everyone should have a therapist, in my opinion. But I knew that I needed to dig deeper on my own healing, and I did it. You know, the number two reason, which really is the number one reason, was that I saw as a mother the way that I was affecting my son with things that I was projecting into onto him, and I was bringing into our relationship from past hurts. And I knew that had to change. That cycle had to break, because I come from a family with multiple generations of trauma.
And when you own your stuff, when you do your shame work, it doesn't own you.
So talk about shame.
I love the shame lesson. I love it. People get really sweaty and uncomfortable when I say the word shame.
I was going to say, you said, I love it. And I was like, ooh, shame. You love shame?
I love the shame teach. So like, but every time I talk, I can, you know, someone will visibly close down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I felt the shoulder shift.
You felt it like that warm. So like, everyone has shame. None of us like to talk about it. And the less we talk about it, the more it suffocates our light and owns your entire story.
By the way, that physical response, we're mammals. Do you ever, do you notice like you have pets?
Yeah.
I have pets, right? When they do something wrong,
they cower.
They cower.
Yep.
It's an automatic response, you know? So we shouldn't judge ourselves for that, but we should notice that. There are so many things instinctually that people do that are just fascinating to me. Anyway.
Oh, right. Well, and like, think about it too. Like, all mammals. So this is Kristen Neff's research, self-compassion. I love her research, but like the mammalian effect, like, as mammals, when we are born, skin to skin contact, it's connection. We are wired for connection. Shame is the threat of disconnection. Shame, the inherent feeling that I am unworthy of love and belonging. Not enough. Unworthy. Unlovable. Who do you think you are? We all have it. And so like, when you like, it's that warm wash. It's whether or not what your self-talk is. When you're in a situation that do you choose the emotion of shame, or do you choose humiliation or guilt, things like that? Because no one makes you feel anything. And I know that's a hard pill to swallow, like for a lot of people, but like, I choose my emotions. You might say something or do something that leads me to choosing that, still in my power to choose which emotion I'm going to experience and how much I attach to it and whether or not I speak it or cope with it in a healthy way. That's my work.
Oh, yes. Just preach. Just keep going. Just keep going.
Like,
I want to be in on this interview, but honestly, I just want to listen to you talk all day. So, all right. So how do you help people start to work through shame?
Most of it's like, a lot of it's just the self-awareness. Really start to learn, what is the difference between guilt and shame? Guilt, I did something bad. I made a poor choice. Shame, I am bad.
Right.
Shame will never be motivating for change, despite its use in lots of personal development right now. But like, if I am a failure, if I am a loser, if I am unworthy, why would I change anything about my life to improve it? I'm not worthy of it. Versus if I feel a little guilty that I made a poor choice or I hurt someone, it's not in alignment with who I want to be or who I was created to be. Therefore, I am motivated to make some different decision to begin again. And so it's really, again, it's in that more of that self-talk piece of like, it's really simple example, Christmas cookies, right? We just kind of came out of the holiday. Your child says they only had two, you know, they had four, right? And shame, you're such a liar.
Right.
Guilt, you told a lie, and we don't do that.
It's perfect. Perfect like example.
That's the simple. And how much do you do that to yourself? Because I would hope, especially as adults, we have very few people in our lives who outright shame us. Because I'm sorry, you make yourself feel like crap enough as it is. You don't need people in your life to do it for you.
And if you have those people in your life, it's probably time to reevaluate those relationships.
Absolutely. To look at trust and toxicity. If therapy is an option, go for it. If you want, you need to salvage that relationship. Like, a therapist can help you with that. We are really good at shaming ourselves. And shame will never be motivating for change. So you can berate and judge and shame and blame yourself all you want. It'll not help you make real, sustainable change in your life. Loving yourself well will.
we are getting close on time. I want to stop there because there's so much that we could do. We could talk about. I want to make sure that you let everyone know, you know, how they can get in touch with you, how you're available to come in and help at this moment in your career.
So the craziest part is like, I can really teach this work in just about any format. So whether or not you give me 30 minutes, I would like more than that. And so would your audience, but I'll take 30 minutes, 90 minute keynote to a 3 hour workshop or a full 6 hour, 8 hour workshop, or, you know, the be all is a 16 hour Dare to Lead training where you go through the training and you get a certificate that says you're a Dare to Lead trained by a certified facilitator. Really, I want you to go beyond reading the books, watching the talks and the videos of Brené's or mine, and I want you to make real change in your life. And that's my gift. And so whether or not you follow me on any of the social media platforms or you come to one of my keynotes or a training, I want you to have the how of changing your life, not just consuming the work. Stop just consuming all the thought leaders. Make real change.
And how can people follow you online?
I share unique content on all the platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. And then I have a lot on YouTube. And then my website's justinefroelker.com.
Reach out to her. She's amazing. You need her in your life. You need her in your company, teaching, helping people grow. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
This has been Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. I am an integrative health coach. I'm available at Apollo Cardiology in Clayton with Dr. Michael Twyman, who's a board-certified cardiologist. I also have a private practice called Get Real to Heal. You can find more information from me online at amandalaplante.com or on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn at either AK LaPlante or Get Real to Heal. Go make it a great day.